Free City. We're in the sixth week of our Holding It Down series. And last week we held down independence and interdependence. We wanted you to understand that this rugged independence of self-reliance, which leads to a loneliness, separation, and division, is not what God had in mind. But our independence is our diversity, and our interdependence is our community, and that God calls us to do this through Him and to become and to be dependent upon Him. This week we're looking at the importance of holding down our reverence and our reliance on God in order to navigate the difficulties of these times we're living in. In a pandemic, over 1 million people have died. COVID-19 in America, 200,000 people died in these United States. We have a toxic political system, disappointment from racial divide, fatigue and frustration from lack of community. If I haven't hit you, I'm sure I've touched somebody today. But the reality is, Grace City, we are called to hold it down, even in the midst of it all. Are you willing to hold it down, Grace City? Are you willing to hold it down? Amen. You may, let's go to the word of the Lord this morning. Proverbs. The word will come from Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, and Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Here's the word of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instructions. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. For the time that's mine this morning, I just want to hold down fear and trust. Fear and trust. Grace City, oftentimes when we think of fear, we see it as something that we must overcome. We put tension between fear and trust. I heard people say things like this, Lil, I cannot trust what I'm afraid of. You know, one of the things I have us afraid in this season is this season of uncertainty. We are uncertain about not getting sick. We are uncertain about the direction of our economy. We are uncertain about our political system. We are uncertain about the job market. We are uncertain of what is the aftermath of COVID-19. Uncertainty is a fearful place for many of us. But I want you to know that God can handle your fears. What I would argue this morning, that there's fears that is unhealthy, but there's also fears that are healthy. Unhealthy fear paralyzes us and keeps us from moving in a moment of uncertainty. But healthy fear is important because there it keeps us away from danger in times of uncertainty, and it keeps us understanding the real threats that can be in our lives in a time of uncertainty. One of the healthiest fears we can have is the fear of the Lord, which is to stand in reverence, in awe of God in times of uncertainty. You know, on Thursday, Lil, December the 5th, 1996, there was a real fear in our country. Alan Greenspan, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, gave a speech. In the speech, he added 10 sentences that less than an hour began to shake the stock market and the financial world. A little over 14 hours, the stock market had dropped 114 points and was dropping all over the world. Oh, for an average person, Greenspan's speech was simply a boring speech. But for those in the financial world, he used one word that began to change the entire behavior of people who was investing. The one word he used was bubble. Alan Greenspan said that we are in a bubble. And for the financial community, the people, that meant to them that when this bubble bursts, all that we gain is about to be lost. So the people reacted out of fear because they respected the man who had the power to increase and decrease interest rates. The fear that came from Greenspan's words was respected and trusted they had for him, and it changed the way they behaved on the stock market. Well, Grace City, if Greenspan can use one word to change behavior through fear and respect of one man's word, then I have a question for you this morning. What should we do when we have an all-knowing, all-creating, an all-seeing God? Should we have reverence and fear for that God, the one that made the heavens and the earth, the one that is indescribable and unattainable, the one that's too wide to get around, the one that's too high to get above, the one that's too low to get under? Should we hold down the fear of the Lord in the time of these uncertainties? You know, God is speaking to us this morning because the question is, do we reverence and respect God and what God says? And are we willing to change our behavior in a time of uncertainty? This is what the proverb writer describes as healthy fear. It is the reverential awe and respect and fear of God to what produces wisdom and making sound choices and having good judgment and understanding the cause and the effect. The fear of God makes us for good life, not just for the self, but also for every area and times in our lives. This is what he calls wisdom. James describes it this way. He says, wisdom from above as first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing, yield, full mercy and good fruit without partiality and without hypocrisy. Proverbs 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, Grace City. But Proverbs 3 says, trust the Lord and he will direct your path. Proverbs 3 calls us to put our trust in God. In other words, when we really reverence God, we are now really certain and rely on God and not ourselves. The reliance in God does not mean divorcing your human intellect, but all of us must put our belief and submit to God, even in a time of uncertainty. We understand that we are nothing without God. It is the time in our lives where we need to be unwavering in our trust, just like a child is unwavering in trust their own parents. Grace City, we're called to hold down fear and trust. The fear is the reverence of God, but the trust is the reliance on God. And when we hold to fear and trust, when we hold on to reliance and the reverence of God, the Apostle Paul says these words, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer selves are washing away and our inner selves are being renewed day by day. For these light and momentary afflictions is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond any comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. Grace City, we are called to hold on to fear and trust, reverence and reliance. The proverb writer Solomon opens with how to acquire capability in life, even at a time of uncertainty. Chapter 1 describes the purpose of the book of Proverbs. It is to teach biblical wisdom in every area of our lives. This biblical wisdom happens in 4 categories. It is practical, it is intellectual, it is moral, and it is mystical. In the text in 1-7, he says that is the beginning of wisdom. Fear and reverence for God is the beginning of wisdom. In other words, there's no biblical wisdom exempt from God. In Great City, at times of uncertainty, we must have a reverence and a reliance on God in this time of uncertainty. None of us can afford to navigate life depending and relying on just ourselves. We cannot afford to do that in this season. Listen, Great City, I don't know where you are, and maybe this season has you in a place of bitterness, but I don't know if you've been sick in this season. I don't even know if this season has you in a place where you've been wounded in this season. But I come by here to tell you that it's okay to fear and trust God at the same time. You have to have reverence and reliance on God when you are in a season of uncertainty. Listen, church, I want to lift 3, which is real different than my style of preaching, but I'm going to lift up 3 biblical characters today to show you this idea of reverence and reliance. And the first biblical character, we're going to hold down grievance and rely. The first one I'm going to lift up is Moses. And what Moses teaches us is this, is that if we're going to hold on God's reverence and reliance, you can trust the Lord even in the midst of your bitterness. You can trust the Lord even in the midst of your bitterness. Here it is. Look, in Exodus chapter 15, y'all, the children of Israel has removed from bondage. They have crossed over the Red Sea, y'all. And then they made it to the other side, but they find themselves in the wilderness. But while they are in the wilderness, church, check this out. They start to get bitter. They start to get upset. You know, Great City, some of us in this season, when things are hard, what we often happens is that we get bitter. If you're bitter this morning, just look straight. It's okay. It's okay. You're not alone. We become bitter because what we imagine life to be, it doesn't match what's going on in our lives. It almost feels like, come on, like a contradiction. It's like God has contradicted himself and you find yourself a little bitter. It is in the divine contradiction. It is the place in life that I'm not what I was, but I'm not what I want to be. It is the place where you're stuck in your past. You're not stuck in your past, but you haven't quite reached your promise. It is the place where you're not in bondage, but you're not living in that freedom. Exodus 15, the children of Israel are delivered. They cross the Red Sea. They on their way to the promised land, but they stuck in the wilderness. But while they are traveling, church, they start this complaining. They start this whining. They start this being upset stuff, getting on their nerves and just complaining about everything. Good God Almighty. And then all of a sudden, church, this complaining people, God does a move to help them out. And I come to tell you this morning that the move God is making this morning is not to destroy you, it's simply to surprise you. Y'all just missed that. That's you don't know when to shout. I said the move that God is making this morning is not to destroy you, it's simply to surprise you. Here it is. Watch this. They're in the text, Aaron. They're walking. They're thirsty. They're in the wilderness. And as they are walking, God brings them to the water. And now their thirst is getting ready to get quenched. They go taste the water. Watch this. And the water is bitter. Why would God, no, I'm thirsty, bring me to the thing that quenched me and then I can't even take it. Because God, watch this, was giving them a reflection of their insides. He took them to the place to fish them, but the real problem is how they were dealing with things on the inside. And so God gives them bitter water. But this is where, watch this, here it is, reverence and reliance comes into play. They go and tell Moses, and Moses is not complaining. He goes to the Lord. Moses goes to the Lord and tells the Lord, and he gets an answer. And let me tell you what the answer is. God tells Moses, take a piece of wood and put it in the water. Take a piece of wood and put it in the water. Y'all cute, so let me come get you. I don't know if you know Jesus, but you do know they hung him on a piece of wood. And it was when that piece of wood hit our lives, our bitterness and brokenness, that we were made new. I come to tell you, that wood symbolizes the cross of Christ that can heal our bitterness, strengthen our weakness, and keep us whole in our brokenness. He said, put the wood in your bitterness. Somebody this morning need to put the cross in your bitterness, because that is at the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. I got to keep going, y'all. Lord have mercy. So the first thing I see, Moses trusts God in the midst of bitterness. But the second thing I see is that Elijah trusts God in the midst of sickness. Elijah trusts God in the midst of sickness. Church, in 1 Kings chapter 17, there's this Shunammite woman that Elijah had a relationship with. They've learned to be good friends. Elijah meets this woman, takes care of this woman. Elijah represents represents God. And all of a sudden, this woman that Elijah and this woman becomes, the Shunammite woman becomes friends. And all of a sudden, this woman's son becomes sick. And he's upset. The woman is upset. She said, what in the world is happening now? How is it that my son is sick? The Bible says that he gets ill and he loses his breath. And then this woman brings this child to Elijah. In Great City, I come to tell you this morning that I know we are in a scary place of sickness around us, but this woman's move was to give this child to the man of God. And I come to tell you this morning that regardless of where you are, no matter how sick life, whatever life brings, we have to put it back in God's hand. I know we want to fix it ourselves. I know, but when you're at a place where there's nothing you can do, you've got to learn to reverence and rely on God and let God deal with the problem. I know I'm preaching good right now, because not only did she, this is the good news, that when she turned it over to Elijah, God only had two moves. One move was that he was either going to be healed through the power of the cross or resurrected through the power of the grave. There's only two moves when you give sickness to the hand of God. Because guess what? Where believers are going, sickness can't go with. Y'all just missed that. So it was only one move. Either it can be healed by the cross or resurrected from the grave. And so, oh, that's good news for somebody. So Elijah in the midst of the sickness, healed the boy, spoke in behalf and said, Lord, three times, healed him. And life returned to his body. And that's the center of our faith. That the center of our faith, regardless what sickness is in this world, life will return to our bodies. Because guess what? To be absent from the body means to be what? Present with the Lord. He only got two moves, church. He can heal you with the cross or resurrect you from the grave. The last thing I have here, when you hold on to God's reverence and reliance, you can trust in the midst of bitterness. You can trust him in the midst of your sickness. But the last thing I see here, you can trust him in the midst of your woundedness. You can trust him in your woundedness. Here, Brother Job in 13 says these words. Watch this, church. King James Version, if you will. Though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Good God Almighty. Y'all don't know when to shout. He said, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Well, let me tell you the story, church. Job, the first two chapters, Job loses everything. Job loses his home. Job loses his family. Job loses everything. And then he has some friends that don't really understand what's going on in his life, because in their minds, if you're good, good things happen to you. And if bad things happen to you, then you must have been bad. But Job in verse 1 of the book says he was a righteous man. So there's something else going on than being good, you get good, and being bad, you get bad. It must be something else going on, Lil. And so he's now right here. His friends have turned their back on him. And they want to know, what you gonna do, Job, now that all this? And Job's answer is, I'm going to reverence God and I'm going to rely on God. Can I ask you a question this morning? What's your answer this morning? I know everything ain't perfect. I know your life ain't going the way you want it to, but what's the answer this morning? Job's answer is, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. I have no other move right now. Y'all mad with me today, y'all. I close this way. I had the privilege this week to do a Zoom call with an organization that I respect a whole lot. They work with maladjusted kids, and they wanted to partner with the organization that Bob and I work with called We Our Us. And they said, how can we do violence prevention with you all, and we can share and partner? And so we get into this conversation, church. It was interesting. And this woman, very nice woman, beautiful woman, I love her to death. But she said something, and she meant well, but it was very powerful what she said. She said, you know, I feel like it's very dangerous out here for my kids, and I'm upset that my kids have to experience this. And she starts talking about the dangers that's out here and how concerned she was. And then one of the guys with us his name is Andrew Muhammad, the captain of the Nation of Islam, was on the line. And he began to console her. He said, sis, I understand, and I'm sorry that this fear and this danger is out here, and started consoling her. And then she cut him off, and she said these words. She said, no, I'm not afraid. She said, I'm not afraid. She said, I'm afraid for my kids. See, when I go to Cherry Hill, as a white woman, I don't have to worry about this. Nobody bothers me. That's what she said. And then Andrew said these words, which was very interesting. Watch this, y'all. Andrew got on the phone and said, let me tell you who Andrew is. He's the captain of the Nation of Islam, the protection portion of the nation. And these are his words. He said, well, I'm afraid. Every time I go out here in the morning, I'm afraid. Every time I go in the neighborhood, I'm afraid. He said, I'm glad you feel that way, but I do feel this fear. What Andrew was doing in that moment, and what the woman was saying, she's sweetheart, she was simply saying that the issues of the African-American community and young males are more difficult. Don't worry about me. I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about them. Really sweet. But what Andrew Muhammad was teaching is this. Listen, when you go out in this world, you got to hold on to the fear and the reliance. As strong as Andrew is, and if you've ever been out with Andrew, you know how strong he is. He never lets go of the reverence for God and the reliance on God when he goes out in this world. That is very real. He says he's helping this woman to understand. Like, that's what guides me. That's what leads me. But it's not acting like this. See, watch this. When you get exposed to the awe of God, it exposes you to the dangers and the weakness of this world. So if you understand how the awe of God, then you then understand, man, this is very dangerous out here. And that's what he was saying. Don't let go of fear and faith. Fear and trust. It is the reverence and the reliance on God. Amen.
Set me on fire. Here I am, here I am. God, arms wide open. Pouring out my life, gracefully broken. My heart stands in awe of your name, your mighty love. Strong to the end, you will fulfill your purpose for me. You won't forsake me. You will be with me. Here I am, God, arms wide open.
Is that your posture today?
Pouring out my life, gracefully broken. All to Jesus now. All to Jesus now. Holding nothing back. Holding nothing back.
Come on, say,
I surrender. I surrender.
Arms wide open. Oh yeah.
That's good news that we're gracefully broken, because grace is the unmerited favor of God. So even when you get broken, there's still favor. Y'all, oh, my Lord have mercy. I'm preaching so y'all ain't with me. I'm preaching too good for y'all to. When you get broken, there's still grace in it. Good God Almighty. Oh, Lord have mercy. Somebody help me. Lord have mercy. Gracefully broken. Yes, sir. Hey, Grace City. They not stick with. I'm going to talk to y'all this morning. Listen, what a privilege and honor it is for us to fellowship and be together. And I can't wait to see you soon as you are making decisions of your own family. We're going inside at the end of the month, and maybe you want to come with us inside. We'll be safe. We'll be protected. All of the things will be in place. Again, thank you for this moment in which we have in this time, this uncertainty, that we've decided to be together and support one another. You all around us have continued to keep this church going, even in a season of uncertainty. And one thing that's certain is that our God is certain. And not only is our God certain, our community has stood up and have been a certain and strong community. So, you know, if you want to give today, as you always have during the season, you're welcome to give. You have three platforms. You have YouTube Live, we have Facebook Live, and then we also have on the bottom of the screen the text to give. Let me pray for us. We know that every good and perfect gift comes from God, and let me pray for us and give us the benediction. Our Father and our God, thank you so much for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for the community in which we are bonded here together. Now, God, I pray that you would take these gifts of building of your kingdom. And God, here are the words of the benediction. Now unto him who's able to keep each and every one of us from falling, he presents us faultless before his throne of great joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, both majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forevermore, all God's children say, amen, amen, amen.